Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This is the Four-Man Rush. Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another podcast of the Four-Man Rush. I'm your host, Timmy VO, here with Kevin, Larry, and Will. And if you're a Panther fan, you know what the hell is up right about now. Ding dong, the witch is dead. No, I'm just joking. So we're going to talk about old Herney taking another hiatus from the Panther organization. I don't know if he'll come back again or not. Who knows? David better not. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Herney situation. We also talk about Tepper and his comments during his interview along with that. And then we'll talk about the old Rivera Bowl, which will be an interesting outing considering Ron Rivera has a heck of a defensive front and our O-line is Swiss cheese at best. Just saying. But, so we'll talk about all that, folks. 2020 is coming to an end. The 2020-2021 season is coming to an end. But the four-man rush ain't, damn it. Hold on to your hats, folks. The four-man rush is on the scene. Will, how you feel about this Herney situation? Oh, indeed, indeed.
It's about time. Yeah, I'm gonna love it. I think I've ever seen a guy get fired from his job and get rehired. I mean, and no other teams wanted him in between his absence. I mean, where they do that at? But, you know, I think... For us, a lot of us, I mean, we talk about it a while now since Tepper took over. It wasn't a matter of if but when. You know, so this news at all wasn't surprising to me, or probably anyone else, I would imagine. I think with Tepper, when he took over the team, you got to remember, he's a brand new owner, so he knows nothing about running a football team. You know, whether it was a passive investor, minority owner with the Steelers, he's not sitting in the war rooms and running the day-to-day operations of the Pittsburgh Steelers like he is now with Carolina. So he had a lot to learn coming in as a new owner. So I just think he just wanted a guy that he could trust, a guy that could teach him the business of football. He can look at how Marty was running things and say, you know what, I understand what he's doing here, but maybe I could do it this way and this way. So not only learn about how to run a football franchise, but what not to do. And I think that was a big part of keeping Herney around as long as he did. And then on top of that, you have a new coach who's never coached in the NFL before. So I think presence was also beneficial to him to help him transition into his new job. But now I think that they've got it under control. They can go about it themselves. It was a perfect opportunity to say, you know what, let's let Herney go with 2 games left in the season. That'll allow him to go interview for other jobs, most likely the Washington job that's open. And it'll allow them to get a jump start on their GM search, because as of right now, there's 5 general manager openings in the NFL, and that's rare. You ever see that? So you really got to get a jump start on trying to get the best candidates and interviewing as early as possible. So overall, I like the timing. I know a lot of fans hate Herney for their own reasons. Maybe he cut a player they really liked. He signed a player they didn't like. You know, he paid a player they didn't want. He didn't draft the guy they want, things like that. But I don't think any of that factored into this particular decision. I think this is more about Tepper wanting to get his guys in there and fully start the David Tepper era. He got rid of Ron Rivera. He got rid of the quarterback, Cam Newton. Now he's finally gotten rid of Marty Herney so he can start from a clean slate and officially begin the David Tepper, Matt Rhule era.
True that. Kevin.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, you know, I had got the news right before it broke because in spite of, you know, what others may think about me, I do have sources within the organization. But anyway, I got the text message that the day was going to be a glorious day because, you know, Marty Herney was about to get up out of here. So I was like, stop playing. He's like, no, the decision already been made. It's just been, you know, ready to be announced to the media. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, because you know, I've been on here saying, telling the podcast, like, yo, there's a reason why Tepper just kind of laughed it off when, you know, Marty Herney's contract extension was brought up. Like, to me, I think that Tepper went into the season already knowing that it was going to likely not be that it was going to likely be the last year, for Herney not renewing his contract, which is up. You know, I think it's what, June 2021. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, it was just something that I got to be honest. I had mixed emotions, you know, this whole Herney era. Like, I really didn't follow him closely his first time around until after the lockout when he started handing out all those big contracts. And I started, like, really paying attention to the salary cap implications and, you know, things of that nature, you know, when he, you know, gave both D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, you know, huge money, gave Charles Johnson a contract that even he said he was shocked how much he received because word was that the Atlanta Falcons were going to try to make a pitch for him. Like, Herney was just free flowing with the cash and it kind of was brought to the light when we finally hired Gettleman, and was saying that we was, negative $16 million in the hole. And, you know, that's why we had to release players like Chris Gamble and things of that nature. So, yeah, for me, it was just like, man, hell yeah, Herney got to go, you know. And then we had the Gettleman era. And, when we found out that, the reason why Herney was brought back because, former owner Mr. Richardson, he wanted – to keep Greg Olsen and Thomas Davis around because, Gettleman was loyal to that salary cap if he was loyal to nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so he was making plans to move on. And apparently, Mr. Richardson's loyalty to the players meant more to him than anything. So that's what gave him, the key to let, Gettleman go. That's, I think it was July. Yeah, I think that was July 2017, when Gettleman just came back off a vacation in the Hamptons. And he brought back Herney, and Herney swore that he learned his lessons. And some areas he did improve on, but overall, a lot of his old habits, particularly with backloading contracts, really just came back to, really put us in this bad predicament here. And not only that, but just, his whole draft history after the first round pick. So for me, I'm just glad that, the Herney era is gone. I think that's the last piece, big piece of the Richardson era. Now I think that is, everything from here on out is all up under the Tepper regime. And I'm just thankful. I'm excited. I'm glad. And I'm looking forward to the next phase.
Right. Hear, hear. Larry, you have any knowledge to drop on this, man?
I think, when you don't address the things that are important to building a winner, it's always going to show. So it's just like, it's no irony in it. We fell into mediocrity when he was holding the keys. He left. We had some winning seasons. And then when he come back, we're back at mediocrity again. So I think the writing's on the wall. His resume speaks for itself. Like I said, I thank him for his service. But at the end of the day, he's been missing in this draft, man. We talk all the time. Like, we never have a good draft on day two and day three. And I think that's just who he is. He hits on first-round picks. When it comes to building a roster and having great depth, he's never been good at that. And we're in the position that we're in right now. He gave away draft capital. And when you bust open Greg Little's tape, you're wondering, why did we give up draft capital? So It's not just Greg Little. It's the Rashawn Golden pick. It's a lot of guys that just were misses. You know, we didn't get nothing out of Ian Thomas. Right. You know, most of the guys that he drafted in the last 3 years, they're not even on the team anymore. So it's time for a new vision. It's time for a new look at the roster. And I think it was time for him to get the axe. I don't have too much to say about Herney. I just thank him again for his service. But we're all desperate to see a new set of eyes on things.
Indeed. I know the last post game I was talking about, you know, we need to get Herney up out of here and see what happens. And hopefully we can, you know, draft in a manner that's going to help out this offense especially. And, well, now we have it.
Hey, Tim, so many guys got checks on the couch. You know that?
Truth,
Jake,
man.
Jake DeLone got a check sitting on the couch.
Chilling at his ranch. Chilling.
He somehow found a way to get Matt Khalil still to get some paper
on the
couch. Like, it's just so many guys were getting paid off dead money under the Herney era. So it's like, we're tired of that shit, too.
Hey, man. Are we still paying Thomas Davis, too?
That's a Kev question. That's a Kev poor man Russ capologist guy.
Kev, are we still paying Thomas Davis, bro?
Nah, we're not paying out Thomas Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, we're definitely not. believe it or not, even though we released Steve Smith after the 2013 season, he got money up to 2016 due to this contract extension he had got. From Herney before Gettleman got here. So you know, that's why he was talking shit, talking about when they beat us in 2014, you know, mow his lawn, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's mess. Thomas Davis is clean off the books now. There's no dead money or anything left over from here, nothing restructured. But it's plenty that say they can though.
I know that's right.
I know Kawan Short gonna be getting a check for a while too.
Yep.
Cause just to let y'all know how that gonna go, it's a matter of if we just take that lump all at once, or do we post June 1st and then split it up? You know, if we go ahead and let it go all at once, it'll be 11. Let's see, his salary is $20 million, so it'll be a $11 million cap hit with $9 million in savings. But if we wait to June 1st, it'll only be $6 million cap hit this year, and then $5 million the following year. So it's just a matter of, once again, hey, just go ahead and get it all out the way at once. The 2022 expected salary cap is going to be extremely favorable for us. So I say go ahead and just nip it all in the bud again while we're in the, quote, rebuilding phase, and pay off this old debt, and that way when this new money comes in post-pandemic with the league revenue, we'll be in a good position.
Well, I hope that's the case, man. Oh, man. Oh, Herney. Down goes Herney. Down goes Herney. So, anyway. All right, so, gentlemen, I guess we all know what's coming up on this Sunday. Oh, before we go into that, if you haven't subscribed to the Four Man Rush YouTube channel, please do. If you're listening to this podcast, make sure that you subscribe and or follow our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. And we really appreciate you guys. Also, on behalf of the Four Man Rush, we'd like to send our condolences to the Kevin Green's family. Heck of a Panther. Here at the early stages of the Carolina Panther franchise, and got us to that the NFC Championship game, if I'm not mistaken. Heck of a player, high energy sack machine, man. He passed away a little too young, man, at the age of 58 years old. So condolences to the Green family and and all those attached to that family. Peace and blessings to you. Anyway, okay, so Washington football team. Excuse me. They get used to that. I'm old school, folks. Please excuse me. Shoot, my dad had a John Riggins jersey. Real talk. Anyway, so the Rivera Bowl. Will, are we going to come out of this unscathed? No, we're really going to have to draft a quarterback because that four-man rush is going to smash us. I don't know. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I don't like this matchup at all. Washington's front four, I mean, just to describe, they're dominant, man. I mean, you got four first-round picks with Chase Young, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Montez Sweat. The veteran Ryan Kerrigan isn't too shabby either. Boy, they just get after it. I mean, you just see these guys take over games at times and just carry the team like you rarely see from just one unit. And, I mean, you just know how – I mean, Jack Del Rio's their D coordinator. But, I mean, still a typical Ron Rivera scheme. And I just envision, like, you know, they're going to come out the heavy zone coverage like Rivera always does. He's going to mix it up, do a lot of disguises pre-snap. And I think what you're going to see a lot of is, you know, Teddy's going to make his pre-snap read. You know, see, go through his progressions. By the time he's on the second and third progression, you're going to have Chase Young on your back. You're going to have Ryan Kerrigan and Deron Payne and all those guys in your face. And I think if we just get in those must-pass situations in this game, I mean, it's going to be a struggle to move the ball and score on this team. You got to stay ahead of the sticks. You can't be in third and long. You can't get penalties putting you behind on drives. You know, you can't be down on points, 2-3 scores where you have to pass and they know the play that's coming. So I think the offense will have his work cut out for them this week. It's going to be a big challenge for our offensive line to block these guys and try to move the ball. Defensively, that's another story. I mean, the Washington offense has had their ups and downs all year. I know Dwayne Haskins was caught in a strip club with no mask, so I don't think he's going to be playing this Sunday. It'll either be Alex Smith or former Panther Taylor Heineke. So, I mean, I think our defense can have a field day today. I know Brian Burns was going to have a lot to prove after he just got snubbed from the Pro Bowl from the guy on the other sideline. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully we'll see some growth from this young defense, and maybe they can help carry us to try to end this losing streak.
And I tell you what, man, I am a little worried. I'm happy that Heineke got a place to stay, man, after that gruesome injury he took. But man, I'm worried about Teddy. Kev, how you feel about this game, bud?
Yeah, well, for me, I look at this game as potentially, no pun intended, even though it's going to come out that way. This is going to be a game about who's going to miss the most opportunities. You know, is the Panthers defense going to miss opportunities to take advantage of a struggling up and down Redskins offense? And, you know, can the Panthers offense, you know, take advantage of whatever opportunities to, you know, take advantage of this defense? Because once you get past this front four, there's definitely room to, you know, eat and feast. I mean, outside of this recent win streak they've been on, I think they did just lose to Seattle, but prior to that, I think they had won, like, what, three in a row? Like, this was a team that was sitting on one or two wins for, like, the first 2 months. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they are, quote, getting hot at the right time, taking advantage of a what's been called one of the weakest divisions in football in several years.
The NFC East is horrible.
Beast. That's what these analysts are saying. But, you know, they still got a race. So this game is playoff implications. So I definitely expect to see both sides of the ball, to be played hard by the Redskins. You know, home. And I don't care how much Rivera trying to downplay it. You know, this game is personal for him.
Yeah.
Like he can say what he wants, but this is definitely going to be personal. And the fact that we got a sequel, because next year, due to the how the schedule works out, the Redskins going to be coming to Charlotte in 2021. So, you know, whoever wins this one, the rematch has already been reset. So it's going to be either a sweep or a split, one way or the other. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, for me, I'm just at to the point where I'm just ready for, like, I already know what I'm getting with this team. It's going to be a sluggish start to kind of get me frustrated. They finally, like, they got their shit together and they going to do it. And then them last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, you know, it's a Park Lake hotel. So I can't fake it. Y'all know I'm one of the most optimistic, you know, people around, but this year has really humbled my optimism during the game. I'm just pretty much, if we win, great. And if we don't, great. Hey, that's where I'm at with it at this stage.
I feel you.
No, I don't condone tanking. So anybody that's listening here and that, oh, Kevin, don't care. We win or lose either way. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is I recognize what my team is and I recognize their style of play. And anything, if you can tell that this team has played anything differently than what I just described a moment ago, let me know. But I just really see this a chance that, yeah, this could be a win, even though it's on the road. But, you know, with the recent, you know, recent play, you know, particularly quarterback play, offensive line play, you know, the run defense, you know, look like, you know, they took a big punch in the mouth first half last week and then finally got right in the second half. Now, we see the second half defense for the whole game this week. Ooh. Oh, we going to win. Oh, yes, we gonna win definitely. So again, it just depends on you know, what side gonna show up and who's gonna play. But the opportunity is there to get a win, and it would be nice. But at this point, I'm numb to it. It is what it is for me at this point.
Yeah, Larry.
It's no such thing as tanking when your season's already over, fellas. So,
well, you got a point there.
I told y'all last week I was all about the draft. My eyes are on Penei Sewell. So whatever it takes to get my dog in here, that's what it's going to be. Just to add to it, you know, it's about the last 8 years, I told y'all I don't ever bet against Ron Rivera in December. So we playing a team that, you know, it's a get-back game for Ron Rivera. It's playoff implications for Ron Rivera. And the man just don't lose like that in December. So it's not too much I can say to boost our confidence as far as us going in here and getting a win. I've been hyping on how terrible our offensive line has been for the past several years. And we just happen to be facing probably the best young front in the league, to be honest with you. You know, people were pretty mad that Brian Burns got snubbed in the Pro Bowl because Chase Young got voted in. If you go look at those stats, Chase Young not even their best edge statistically. Montez Sweat got more sacks than Chase Young right now. So you're getting it from all angles, man. It's going to be a long day for Taylor Moton. Hopefully, if I can speak any optimism, he'll have a better game than he did last week because he got abused on national television. And, you know, we've been talking big about re-signing him, so he's got to earn that back with me. I lost a tad bit of confidence in him in primetime, but. You know, just looking at their unit, like if you look at the Washington football team as a roster, you feel like they have a very good roster outside of the quarterback position. If they can find stability at the quarterback position, you're talking about a perennial contender right now. You know, just take yourself back to the Panthers 2013. Everything was built around that front. That front seven they got in Washington is ferocious. That's why I think that when Ron took that job, he knew exactly what time it is. Oh, this is the perfect situation for me, and he took it. So, you know, they started off slow. The NFC East is trash, but right now he has his team in position to go ahead and make a run in January. So this is like a must-win situation for him. So, you know, looking at us, the way the season's been, I'm not mad. Same tune I'm playing. You know, I just want to see the young guys continue to get better, but it's not much I can look at to see, you know what, we can go into Washington and get a win. Because it's seasons fell apart, man. Let's look forward to the draft. Let's look forward to a new regime coming in that front office. And I mean, if you just love football, enjoy watching the game on Sunday.
Yeah, as always, indeed. there's still going to be some Panther football playing, folks. And, you know, any given Sunday, you never know. You never know. I just know Teddy better not hold on to that ball very long. He's gonna be getting tagged, man. Oh, dude. Any injury updates? So who would we have at left tackle? Was it still gonna be? Was it Scott?
Yeah, it's still Scott. Trent Scott at left tackle. So whether it's Chase Young or Montez Sweat, they got to be licking their chops. I think they're gonna both take turns. This would definitely be a game. Look. Just go ahead and put Manhurst at tight end on Scott's side, and we'll take our chance with whoever, you know, Moten has to deal with. I really would not be mad if that was the blatant strategy, you know, to have a tight end on that side. I know that may make it seem predictable and favorable, but that would also reduce the amount of damage considerably. In my particular position. So if we see a lot of tight end personnel this game, you know, definitely look for a lot of it to be on the side of where our left tackle is going to be, because these boys are hungry. You know, I know this in the film. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Trent Scott is a player that has earned the opportunity to come back and try to get coached up and build some more. He definitely has a physical, a little bit of aggressive, but he needs definitely to be coached up and fine tuned some more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's definitely nowhere near something that's keeping, you know, defensive coordinators worried about, or, you know, edge rushers, you know, too concerned about up front. So, yeah, Trent Scott is the guy at left tackle, and I'm not sure who's the backup, because as was mentioned earlier, Dennis Daly has went on the IR list with a concussion, so we will no longer have his services for the remainder of the year.
Adios, muchacho. Man, I don't know too much about the Redskins secondary. If we buy Teddy some time, can we take advantage of that secondary, Will?
You know, it's like with the old Panther teams, we never really had, I mean, maybe 2015 being an outlier, we never really had an elite secondary under Ron Rivera, but the front seven was just so dominant, it didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I think on the back end, you're just going to see a lot of zone coverages, a lot of disguises. And all their job is really is to make Teddy come off his first progression and hold the ball a little longer to allow that pass rush to get there. And I think what another thing that Ron Rivera is going to do as well with his zone blitz schemes, he likes to create mismatches. So, you know, he's going to attack. He knows your pass protection scheme. He's going to try to devise blitzes to create matchups so that your, for example, maybe your running back ends up having to block a defensive tackle, or your offensive tackle is going to end up having to block a faster cornerback coming off the edge. And he's just very creative in how he'd be able to create those blitzes and stunts and mismatches in those rush situations. And another thing about it, I mean, our offensive line ain't picked up with stunts this whole year.
Man.
So, I mean, when you got a guy like Ron Rivera, we know what Ron Rivera does with stunts and zone blitzes. That's what he does. So, I mean, I know he's in his office right now, you know, devising all these different, you know, blitzes and stunts to try to attack our offensive line, create matchups, overload blitzes, you know, have two of our blockers against three rushers. Anything he can do to just get after the quarterback, disrupt them and make them pound the ball, hold it for just that little bit longer to allow his guys to get there.
Good answer. Yeah, we're going to have to take advantage of the short pass game and hopefully get some decent yaks off of that, apparently. But, of course, we're going to have to run the football, too. As far as our defense goes, you guys mentioned, you know, Brian Burns, he's going to be highly motivated. And I think Chen can hold it down and get things done too. We'll see, man. We'll see. So, Larry, what, Do you have anything else you want to add about this Redskins game?
What do you want? Optimism from me? I'm just playing.
Shit. Only optimism you're going to give is about the draft. I know that.
I mean, Kev brought up an interesting point. Then I know that Dennis Daly is on IR. I mean, not IR. Well, he's not playing. He's hurt. I'm kind of concerned what would happen if Trent Scott went down. But you know what? You got a guy named Tyler Larson that can come in and play some center, play some guard. You got a couple guys we ain't seen out there yet. So you can always find some optimism in that. You would like to know what you have going into next year as far as the roster goes and the backups go.
True.
But I'm just hoping that we look like a formidable football team at this point. I'm not expecting a big win or anything like that. I'd like for them to keep the game close if possible.
True.
But other than that, you know, I've always been a big fan of Ron Rivera. I'm not hoping that he wins. I just know what that man is like in December when he's got tunnel vision trying to get to January. So the way we've been playing, the way we've been trending versus the way the Washington football team has been trending, it's not looking too good.
Not at all.
Now, I would like to add that I know there's been teased over us the last few weeks, and we just got to see how the upcoming practice go. But something that would help negate that pass rush is if we're able to get a healthy Christian McCaffrey back.
That'd be nice.
For that game. Now that would definitely swing things a lot more favorable for us. Not only, you know, against running, you know, running wise, but definitely in the passing game. You know, this is definitely a game where folks are gonna be mad about check downs because, like we spoke of, this vaunted, extremely talented defensive line here. Y'all, come on, Teddy, don't throw it deep. You really want him to doing 5-7 step drop backs against this defensive line? Really? You know, the channel my, you know, inner Chris Jericho, really? But yeah, and that kind of fits more towards Rivera because, you know, you sit in the zone, you want to jump those quick thing passing stuff. It's going to be interesting. This game is going to tell me a whole lot more about Joe Brady and if he can adjust because I'm sure he's seeing this on film as well. So for me, this game is going to say a whole lot more about Joe Brady than anything. Knowing that your offensive line is going to be is not up to full strength. What are you going to come up with to negate? Can we say arguably the best pass rusher in football right now? I mean, if there's another squad out there, I can't think of one up front. But yeah, so for me, I'm just curious to see what kind of scheme and strategy Joe Brady is going to put together to counter this front four so that we can take advantage of that back seven.
Indeed. Oh, man. Well, folks, we got two games left in the season. And then we have the offseason, the combine, all that other good stuff. And you best believe the four-man rush is going to give you everything to know. And, you know, all that good stuff. But right now, we got a game on Sunday. It's been flexed to the 4:05. So be sure to remember that. Hang out. Watch the game. You might be impressed. Who knows? Who knows? Mike Davis might run for $150. Who knows? Who knows? Because we're not throwing the ball. Flats, Texas routes. That's about all we're going to get out of Teddy, man. Poor guy. Lord have mercy.
This would be the perfect game to bring back out the wing T offense. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk, man. Shit, bust out a wishbone. Shoot.
Let's see if we can confuse him with some misdirection.
Why not? Shoot. But, we have two 1,000-yard receivers. Quite frankly, you know, DJ's just as dangerous getting a 5-yard slant as he is getting a, you know, 20 or 30 nine route down the side. So, I mean, you never know, folks. You never know. Our defense, when they are clicking, they can stymie an offense. So, I mean, if we can keep it close, who knows? Who knows? But I just like to see our young players go out there and continue their growth, continue that consistency that they're starting to put together, man. I'm really enjoying that, especially from Brown and Chen. Loving it. All right, gentlemen. So any parting shots, Will?
Just wanted to say one more thing. It was finally got a rare interview from owner David Tepper this week, mm-hmm. and he said some interesting things about the GM hire and what he wants to do going forward. I mean, it's on the Panthers website, so if anyone wants to listen to it, I mean, you're welcome to. But two things I thought was interesting was, one, what he's going to look for the next GM hire. Is it going to be an internal or external guy? Mm-hmm. And I think the key thing he said here is he wants there to be collaborative effort between Matt Rhule and the general manager. So does that mean there's going to be somebody with ties to Matt Rhule? I know Kev had posted a list on our Twitter account of guys that have had connections with Matt Rhule in the past. That could be possibilities for the next hire. I'll let him talk about those guys. Another thing he said was, you know, he kind of signaled on what his plans were to address weaknesses on the team. I mean, he said he name dropped the secondary that obviously we needed help back there. And he mentioned, you know, he's going to continuously evaluate the quarterback position, because until he has that guy that can consistently get you to the playoffs and eventually win you Super Bowls, you're just going to have to keep taking a look and evaluating that position year after year. So I think, you know, he left the door open to possibly draft a quarterback if we pick in the top five at the end of the season. And I don't think he ruled out the possibility of either drafting one this year or next year, but it's just something to look out for as we enter this draft season. I know there's a lot of – I think there's about three or four quarterbacks that are expected to be picked in the top 10 in the draft. So the Panthers picking in the top 10, I mean, that's a very realistic possibility right now. So, I mean, it's an interesting interview. You rather get to hear from your owner, team owner, often. So if you have a chance, just go ahead and listen to that interview. We'll see what he has to say. It gives you kind of a picture into the direction of where he wants to go with this franchise.
Great.
Will touched on something earlier. Well, it might not have been on this podcast particularly, but we were having a conversation in private. And, you know, I don't think you can veer too far away from the idea of us hiring from within. If you look at traditionally how it works with a GM comes in and they kind of get to decide what coach they want. The GM usually has say in that. And you look at Matt Rhule's contract, I doubt any GM is going to have say on who the coach is going to be. So we already know who the coach is going to be. So you got to figure out, is that really an attractive job for a GM? So, you know, we might not have to hire anybody from outside because it might not be that attractive for somebody like a Lewis Riddick that might want to come in and, you know, have his own staff and put the people in place that he wants. So you got to figure out, you got to find out how you're going to get that good marriage. Whoever it's going to be, they're going to have to get along with Matt Rhule because he's clearly the future of the franchise right now. So looking at us, and if you look at a job like Jacksonville, Carolina is not the most attractive attraction right now. So, you know, just my thoughts. I'm kind of leaning towards what Will was saying. You know, this might be a hire from within. And that's just how I feel. Because I wouldn't, me as a person, that's the type of personality that I have. If I can't pick my coach, I don't want the job. That's just me personally. So, how many people actually want to come into the situation and work with Matt Rhule? That's a big question that needs to be answered.
Man, that's a damn good question. Damn good question. Go ahead, Valerie.
Yeah, one last thing. I was talking to my cousin, who's a defensive analyst at Temple, and he also was a scout in the pros. He was telling me that, you know, if you look at our philosophy, what Matt Rhule likes, he likes athletic guys. He wants athleticism at every position. Mm-hmm. On the pro level, that's usually not the best way, because almost everybody's athletic. You really want guys that are polished. The reason why it works at a college level is because college is dominated by athleticism. So that philosophy worked for Matt Rhule in school. You know, go get the fastest guys, go get the strongest guys. Usually you can win like that in college. It's not necessarily the same thing at the pro level. So that's something else to keep in mind. So is his philosophy going to match with an NFL GM?
True that. Kev, you want to add anything on the way out?
Yeah, off the strength of Will talking about the people that I posted on our Twitter account, just to give you a quick rundown of them real quick. First candidate I put up was a guy by the name of Brandon Hunt. He had been with the Pittsburgh Steelers 10 years, so he's familiar with Mr. Tepper. Tepper became a partial owner back in 2009, so pretty much they were they have at least 6 or 7 years of, you know, at least been within the same organization, so there's familiarity there. You know, the Steelers, you know, I know they suck right now, but they're, you know, a healthy team. You see that they've really turned that team around and made this team better, so he had a lot to do with the transactions that, you know, really helped stabilize the team. So, you know, Steeler, you know, Tepper like having his familiarity with somebody from the organization he came with here. So again, his name is Brandon Hunt. The second person that I shared and posted was is very familiar with the Carolinas, actually. His name is Joe. I think it's pronounced Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N. Yeah. He's actually the current assistant general manager of the Buffalo Bills under former Panther Izzet Brandon Bean. He was actually a scout for the Panthers from 2001 to 2008. He got on with the Miami Dolphins and after leaving the Panthers, and he worked his way up from to become the director of player personnel during that time frame. And he was so he definitely has some good experience there. Was able to put together some good, you know, roster talent wise. I know it didn't lead to wins, but he was definitely able to have a say in getting some good quality players down to South Beach. Not hard to convince anybody to move to Miami. But anyway, yeah. And then the third guy, would touch a little bit more on what Larry spoke of about nobody wants to come in who isn't comfortable with Matt Rhule. Well, this guy could potentially be someone who wouldn't have that problem. And that's a guy by the name of Adam Peters. He's currently the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers vice president of player personnel. Matt Rhule was his defensive line coach back in UCLA back in the day. And they've stayed in touch over the years. This was back in 2001. So, you know, that's we're talking about nearly staying in touch almost two decades here. And with Peters, he was a key piece under John Lynch with helping turn the 2016 49ers, who were 2-14, into a Super Bowl team in 3 years. So he definitely has seen what it would take to take a team rebuilding, starting over from scratch, and help, you know, build them up as well. So just showing that some players has got some ties to not only the Matt Rhule and Tepper, but the Carolinas in general. So these are potential possible candidates who could be some that we interview and contact. Obviously, the one for, you know, with the playoffs, we can't talk to none of these guys because, you know, their team's still in it. All three teams are in the playoffs. So that should be an indication of success right there. Outside of Peters for the 49ers.
Kevin, what's that name? You said it's Peters?
Adam Peters, yeah.
Peters.
If I look at the way that Niners team was built, that's exactly how I want my team built. So just being honest. And I had a question for Will. You mentioned Pat Stewart. Did we talk about him tonight? And if we didn't, can you touch on him briefly?
Yeah, Pat Stewart is our current pro personnel director. So what pro personnel side does, they're the ones that handle your free agents, practice squad, things like that. And I thought he's done a pretty solid job piecing together this roster, given the circumstances. I mean, he got guys like Rasul Douglas that were able to come in and contribute, you know, on last minute notice. Mm-hmm. So I think he's, you know, he's well respected in the scouting community. He was with the New England Patriots as a pro scout for several years. He was with the Philadelphia Eagles as a scout for several years. So between those two organizations, I mean, you're talking about a guy with multiple championship, you know, rings in his jewelry box. So I think he was with Matt Rhule in the early 2000s at Western Carolina. So that relationship is there. They've worked together before there. They've worked together for a season here now. So I think it's a very realistic possibility that, they do their due diligence and interview outside candidates, but ultimately possibly promote Pat Stewart to the general manager, and maybe even Luke Kuechly can replace Pat Stewart as the pro personnel director and have that type of structure with Kuechly reporting to Pat Stewart. So that'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm kind of in favor of that. Maybe Luke Kuechly can be our own Dan Morgan.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. That's some great football minds right there, buddy. Especially Luke in the room. Man. Things are changing, Panther fans, and I believe this is the beginning of what is the new phase, the truly new phase of the Carolina Panther franchise.
If I have any requirement for my next general manager, he better know how to look at the offensive line. He better know how to get him a left tackle.
True that. True talk. Like for real, they have got to get that old line straight starting the offseason.
You better know how to identify a left tackle. You better know what the word nasty means. And if you can get those things right, I'm on board.
Realness.
Yeah, and also throw in the secondary, because when you look at the history of this franchise, what's the two areas that have that we never could say we had at an elite level at any time? We've had elite quarterback play, Cam. We've had elite run. We definitely had elite running backs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We had elite tight end, you know, Olsen and Walls. Yep. We've had elite defensive line. We've had elite linebackers. I mean, what's to say? What's the two positions that we can say that we never really been elite at for any stretch of years? And that's the offensive line, and that's the secondary. And I want to double down that, yeah, I'm a trench guy like Larry, but I've, you know, dealing with Will and, you know, Jadarius and Vince and other guys on the foreman rush that, you know, some secondary gurus, like, I've seen it, man. We've had great defenses that's, you know, front sevens, but still get torched on the back end. So I want a GM that's definitely can have that same ability on all levels. You know, not to take away from what Larry wants someone on the offense line, because that definitely would be tops. But, you know, I know we can't have all pros on in every position, but damn it, we can have a players and a system set up that allow us to, you know, no matter who we get, you know, it's plug and play, you know.
I think in years past, the reason why our secondary has been absolute trash is because for a long time it just lacked athleticism. We don't have that problem now, so I'm also with you. I would love to maybe go get a top-notch corner, but just looking at my roster now, I'm kind of comfortable knowing that at least I have athletes back there that can be coached up. That's the only sole reason why I'm prioritizing the O-line over the secondary, because I just feel like if you close your eyes and you just got to know what type of athletes you got some athletes back there. They're not ready yet. I know Troy Pride isn't there, but I still like the athleticism that's back there. You know, we were at one point in the season, we were like seventh in pass defense. You know, we do have a lot of reasons to be optimistic. It's just been when we get abused back there. And it's been like that for years. So I agree with both of y'all.
Outstanding. Well, gentlemen, I can't wait to see what happens with this football franchise. I'll tell you that right now. So, Panther fans, once again, thank you guys and gals for checking out the Four Man Rush podcast. Be sure to watch that game on Sunday. Be sure to tune in for the post podcast with Kevin on Facebook Live. And be sure to check out all our social media platforms. And, of course, the Four Man Rush website at www.theFourManRush.com. Whether you're listening to this podcast in the morning, afternoon, or evening, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. The COVID is real. Stop playing games. Please stop playing games. And shoot, make sure you enjoy your eggnog. Don't drink too much liquor.
Hey, Tim, Christmas came early. Herney's gone. I'm like granddad from Boondock. He's gone.
Yeah, man. Christmas came early for most Panther fans. I mean, I don't know too many Panther fans who are going to disagree with that move, but you know, he's gone.
Honey probably got a bottle of Jim Beam and a pack of Marlboro Reds right now, eating some sausage and some jerky, bro.
In a cabin up in the damn mountains or some shit.
Man, him and Rolliver already texting, like, go ahead and beat these fuckers. They just fired me for, yeah, let me tell you what I know.
You know that's what it is. You know that's what it is.
Hernie and his 6'9 mode, he's snitching like hell.
Yeah, both of them motherfuckers petty, boy. You know they, oh yeah, you know it. You know it, they petty as hell.
Yeah, it's the reason why the Redskins kept their GM spot open all year. So, hey. Yeah,
they knew what's up.
Yeah. They was waiting. They knew what was happening. Writing was on the wall.
Yeah, they knew what's up. But yeah, man. Sunday, 4:00, the Rivera Bowl. Panther fans, as always, keep pounding. Hold it down. Merry Christmas.
Keep pounding, y'all. Happy holidays.
Happy Kwanzaa. I like good shit. Man, good job, fellas. And that's a clear.
Oh, man.
Herney's gone, boy. I can't.
Can't wait.
Boy, that's a Christmas present in itself, boy. God.
She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers. And do we come in and you love us?
The Foreman Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The Foreman Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the Foreman Rush exclusively. Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.